Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Joining us, as always, Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern Medicine, Delner Hospital. And I hope you had a nice holiday, Dr. Wheat. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I did. I hope you had one as well.
Very much so. But all I've been hearing about with, all the hugging for the holidays, all the, kissing relatives, all I'm hearing about is super flu and, feel like I should put a big plastic bag around me to protect myself against whatever it is that is going wild out there, right?
Yeah, I feel like that's a reasonable response. We absolutely have seen so much flu. When we were chatting last week, we were definitely seeing numbers rising, but even since we chatted last week, numbers have doubled. And so we now really do have a lot more flu in this past week. And so many people, unfortunately, are sick. And so that means that if you haven't gotten the flu, that there's probably somebody around you that has it, and we need to be thinking about protecting ourselves.
Yeah. So talk to me a little about this flu strain. I mean, lots of us got our flu shots. Are we not protected from whatever it is that's going around right now?
Right. So when we think about the flu shots, they make decisions on what flu strains they want to protect for before we know what they are. And there is a new variant that has come out since they made the decisions on the flu vaccines. And unfortunately, it does seem like this strain is missing the flu shot, but so people are still getting sick even if they have had the flu shot. But it's important to keep in mind that it's not just about not getting the flu, it's also about, if you do get the flu, trying to avoid some of the serious complications, trying to avoid being in the hospital. And so many of the people that I know that did have the flu shot and have gotten this flu strain are not doing quite as badly as some of the ones who did not get the vaccine. So it is still helping.
So it's minimizing how bad it could be, I guess.
Exactly.
Had you had nothing at all. Well, that's a somewhat of a comfort, I guess. Is it too late to avoid this super flu now by getting out there and getting immunized today?
So the flu vaccine usually takes about 2 weeks to be effective. So I will say it's never too late. We are definitely still in the throes of it. So I won't be surprised if numbers continue to climb over the next week or so, if not longer, when kids are going back to school and all of us are going back into offices for work. And so I don't think it's too late. And then please don't forget, we usually see two waves of the flu. So we usually see flu A, which is most of what we're seeing right now. But we also see flu B, which the vaccine protects against as well. And we are starting to see some flu B, too. So I would say go out and get it if you haven't yet.
Okay. How do you know if it's flu or just a cold? Or how can you differentiate between what it is that you might get?
So the biggest differences that we see between the flu and a typical cold are really the fever and the body aches. And of course, you can get those with a cold too, but the flu tends to have a fever that's higher faster. As in, I will tell you, my own daughter had the flu and she went from feeling well to waking up with a fever the next morning. And it's just sort of a bit more of a dramatic change. And then the body aches all over, feeling exhausted, tend to be more than with a typical cold. And at this point, we can now also get testing. You can get testing over the counter at the pharmacy and test at home if you don't want to go in. Though I would say if you're worried, it's worthwhile to go in because sometimes we can treat you and help spread and help stop the spread in your household by treating you and potentially giving prophylaxis to any family members that are at high risk.
Yeah, to stop into like an immediate care kind of place, or if you can get in to see your doctor.
Exactly.
That's great. Holiday week is probably not the best time to do that. But what can we do to, minimize getting it in the first place? Obviously, not touching things, maybe wearing a mask, those kinds of things. But are there things that we can be taking, supplements, things like that, that might boost our immunity to getting the super flu?
Well, I would say start with all of the basic things, hand washing, eating well, getting sleep to make sure your body has the best defenses to start with. But if you know that you were exposed, and particularly if you're high risk, there are medications that are out there that you can take to prevent getting it. There's two main medications that we're offering that are available, though one of them is harder to get, at least when I tried to get it for my own daughter in the Chicagoland area. And so it is worthwhile if you have anything like asthma or COPD or have any immunosuppression or have little kids in your house to consider reaching out to your doctor to see if you can get the prophylaxis.
What are those medications that people should be asking their doctors about them?
Yeah, so the two main ones that are available are Tamiflu and Xofluza. Oh. And it really depends on your individual situation, which one is the best one for you. Tamiflu is the only one that is available for very young children, as in like babies and under five. And then Xofluza is available for people over five. That one is a one-time dose. Tamiflu is a multiple dose. But there's also the dependent factors on if your insurance will cover it and what is available. Tamiflu was the one I was able to get for my kid when she was sick.
Yeah. What about, these old wives' tales and... slogans, starve a cold, feed a fever, things like that. Any of that apply, or is that just, my grandmother believed in all that stuff greatly. That and Vicks VapoRub therapy, no matter what with my grandmother, no matter what you had, Vicks VapoRub was part of the answer.
Very similar in our household, though I will say the one that I will really encourage is the chicken soup is the one that I still really recommend to all of my patients for several reasons. One is the steam tends to feel good, particularly when you have a respiratory infection. The chicken, if you eat meat, the protein can be helpful to help keeping you from having those ups and downs. And then the fluids, lots and lots of fluids. And the warm fluids often feel good when you don't feel good. Truthfully, with the flu, people aren't usually hungry. So if we can get fluids in them, then that is the best thing.
Okay. So really any kind of fluids, juices. I would think that sports drinks might be helpful. Would they? If you're going through something like that, just to make sure you don't get dehydrated?
So they can be. The thing I would watch out for is even with some of the juices, if they are too sugary, that can make you feel worse. And so even if you're going to do juice, sometimes I recommend splitting it with water so that it's like a half-strength juice so that it's not too sugary. And then staying away from heavily caffeinated drinks because that can also make you actually more dehydrated along the way.
Okay. All right. Do you have a recommendation for juice? I don't know why when I get sick, I go crazy with grapefruit juice for some reason. For some reason, I feel like if it tastes bad, it must be helping me more.
I'm not sure everyone thinks it tastes bad, but I think that that probably comes from the vitamin C, right? I feel like I was told always that vitamin C can be helpful to help you fight a cold. I feel like the data is sort of mixed on that. For little kids, we often recommend apple juice because it does taste good, but split in half so that they can get at least fluids in them.
It's not overly sugary, but warm drinks I'm hearing you say are also a really good choice as well. So maybe like a nice mild tea, something like that.
Absolutely.
A couple of questions regarding all of this. 217 area code, which, by the way, somebody from 217, that's the Springfield area, said it's 64 degrees in Springfield right now. So there you go. But the 217 area code said, should I get another flu shot if I had one in October?
No, there's no evidence for getting a second flu shot. It's an interesting question. Worrying about is it going to wear off? But it would be the same exact flu shot that you would have gotten in October. So there's not really any evidence that will really help.
So they don't make adjustments to the vaccine once they know, what the strain is that's out there right now. Like we have this new strain that's out there. They don't say, well, we better add a little of this or a little of that to compensate for what is actually going around. They don't do that.
They don't do that, unfortunately, no. Yes, and right now we're seeing that subclade K is the one that everybody is worried about that's moving so much faster than the previous ones.
Interesting. Okay. 815 area code. How long is an isolation period these days for COVID?
Oh, that is a great question. So they did change some of that in the past year or two, where now the recommendation is similar to other viral illnesses, that you want to be fever-free for at least 24 hours and symptoms improving. And then the guidelines right now say that you can return. You are still contagious, though, so I would still recommend wearing a mask if you go out, even when you're feeling better, for at least 7 to 10 days.
Oh, wow.
To make sure you're not spreading it.
Okay. Well, that really hasn't changed that much since original COVID.
It hasn't.
You really need to sort of keep to yourself, or at least keep your germs to yourself for some of that time.
And I'll say it's not just COVID, it's the flu too. So if you get the flu, you're still contagious for a little bit even after you feel better. So still considering keeping your germs to yourself.
Okay, all right. 630 area code suggests drinking low sodium V8 juice when you're not feeling well. That's a good idea. That's loaded with all kinds of vitamins. But the low sodium part is super important, because some of those bottled and canned juices, including V8, can be super high in sodium, so you do need to look for the low sodium version of that.
Absolutely, that's a great idea.
Yeah, or here's an idea: make some yourself. Throw some vegetables in a blender and make it from. It's not hard to make from scratch, and I think would be much better for you. Said the man who still goes by the Vicks VapoRub theory of cures. 9:51, more with Dr. Santina Wheat next. The Week in Health, Dr. Santina Wheat on the line, taking your calls and texts. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Dr. Wheat, the 708 area code says, 6 days ago, started with stuffy sinuses, went to drainage and coughing. Now one ear is getting clogged. Is there anything that I can do or take?
Sure. So I recommend that nasal saline spray can really help flush out some of the things that are going on there, because usually it's all of the mucus in your nose, and you can feel that in your throat and in your ears as well. And so I would start there. Tylenol or ibuprofen can be really helpful for the discomfort in your ears. If you start having a fever afterwards, it might be worth seeing a doctor, though, too, in case you have an infection in your ear.
630 area code. I used to get colds all the time. I started taking 500 milligrams of vitamin C every day. Now fewer colds. And, fewer colds. Anything to that?
I feel like I have seen mixed information on the vitamin C. That is one that I have had in my family as well. And so we do use vitamin C in our household when we're worried. I do in general recommend that you get it from your food over supplements, though, when you can, because your body just uses it better.
630 area code. People came over last night with the beginning of a cold. They were contagious last night. Is it possible that we can now get cold? We're okay right now.
If they had symptoms last night, they were definitely contagious, and it is still possible for you to get it. Sometimes it can take 2 to 3 days for you to start showing symptoms when you've been infected. So it'd be worthwhile if you can find out what they had, because if it was the flu, you're still in that window that you could get prophylaxis.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, coming up, we've got New Year's Eve. A lot of people are going to over-imbibe. Is there anything that they can do to minimize the effects of drinking too much on New Year's Eve?
Well, one of the things that I would recommend is start by trying to slow yourself down on New Year's Eve. I generally recommend to my patients that they alternate like a water or a non-alcoholic drink with the alcoholic drinks that they're going to have. That really can help you. And then if you do happen to wake up in the morning and you're feeling the effects of it, it is really a lot of things going on. Trying to get some extra sleep can be really helpful. making sure you're drinking, especially with some electrolytes to try to get the dehydration to go away, because we do definitely have the impact of dehydration. And then pain reliever, though being cautious to make sure that the alcohol is out of your system before you really start with some of that pain reliever.
All right. Or moderation. Here's a novel.
Moderation.
Here's a novel concept. Now, moderation. Dr. Santina Weed, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine, Northwestern's Delner Hospital. Happy New Year to you and your family. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us.
Happy New Year to you too as well. Have a great week.